Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Many that have been out sick or traveling, and many away on business that are able to be back with us today. We are thankful that you're able to be with us today, and thankful to have this opportunity to assemble together and worship our God. This week, of course, we're focused on a week. This week is the week of Thanksgiving. And probably a lot of the students are thinking about the fact that they get out of school on Wednesday and, you know, all that type of stuff. And I don't know what your Thanksgiving tradition is, but I know that it's one of my favorite holidays, if not the favorite holiday. It's a uniquely American holiday. It's a time that we pause to thank God for all of His blessings, for life and for liberty. As we think about our settlers as they first came to this country and so forth. But I'd like for us to think this morning on the subject of being thankful and how that God teaches us to be thankful. In Colossians chapter 3, in verses 15 through 17, we read, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." The fact that God saw the need to command us to be thankful is a sad commentary on the carnal nature of mankind. I think many times we come to Colossians chapter 3 and these verses 15 through 17, we certainly go to verse 16 quite often to show that what God has authorized by way of music in worship is vocal music. And we make a strong point, as we should, on that whatever we do, we're to do in the name of the Lord or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our zeal to prove the doctrine of Christ and how we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, do we often overlook what is also said here about being thankful? That God has given us His Word to teach us how to worship Him, to teach us to remain under His authority. And that as we learn of His will for us, then to pause and reflect and rejoice and be thankful to God that God has revealed to us what is acceptable to Him. He's revealed the truth to Him. He's revealed how that we can truly worship Him in spirit. The absence of genuine knowledge of God is what He has done for us. Let me read that again. The absence of a genuine knowledge of God, of who God is, that's what I wanted to say. The absence of a genuine knowledge of who God is and what He has done for us has resulted in self-centeredness and independence, producing the absence of gratitude. You know, when you forget God, when you just take God for granted or just refuse to acknowledge the existence of God and our dependence upon God, then you become independent of God. You're not going to be thankful to God for anything. Your focus is not on God who gives us all things richly to enjoy, but our focus becomes on self. And so being thankful guards against that. What are we to be thankful for? Well, the list could go on and on, but we are certainly to be thankful for His revelation of who He is and who we are and what He created us to be and what He's provided so that we can be what He would have us to be. Just think of where we would we be without this book we call the Bible. Where would we be without the God-breathed Word of God? Well, we would be left wondering about God, wouldn't we? Who is He? What is He? Is He the sun? Is He the moon? Is He the stars? Is He, you know? I mean, that all you have to do is look at human history. And you can see all of the man-made religions that have come up over the centuries. Whether it be Native Americans or whether it be in Asia or wherever it might be. You know, you can go back to Greek mythology. All of the so-called gods that man has imagined and worshipped, we would be left to that same imagination and same speculation, wouldn't we? But God gave us His Word so that we can know who He is. But not just know who He is, but know who we are, what He created us to be. And then, in this Word, He provides us with everything we need so that we can be what He created us to be. Otherwise, we'd be back there speculating and wondering and going on what we feel. And I realize, and you realize, there's a lot of people today would rather depend upon what they feel than what God has revealed. But nevertheless, God has revealed these things so that we might know how to be all that He created us to be. Because it's not instinctively in us to know what He would have us to be. Many passages we can turn to, but we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 14. A rather lengthy reading if you want to read along with me in your Bible or from the screen. That's fine too. But it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Think about that. God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before He ever said, "Let there be light," God chose that those who would be in fellowship with Him would be in fellowship through the means of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, He goes on to say, "Having predestinated or foreordained us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." So we're not just, we don't naturally become children of God. It's an adoption process. God has put a system, as we noticed this morning in Galatians, through Christ, through which we can be adopted as children of God in Christ Jesus. But it's also, we need to choose this adoption process. He chose us that we might be able to choose Him. Verse 6, He goes on to say, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved." He has made us accepted. Are you thankful for that? You are now accepted before God. Well, if I am accepted before God in Christ, where was I before I was in Christ? I wasn't accepted. If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and you know that you're a sinner, you know you're accountable to God for your sins, you need to know that you're not acceptable before God. We become acceptable before God in Christ Jesus. And when we choose to be in Christ and we obey Him, and having done that, we have every reason to be thankful for the fact that we are accepted before God. Verse 7, He goes on to say, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. We should be thankful for the redemption that we have through His blood. We should be thankful for the forgiveness of our sins. Are you? I know we ask God to forgive us of our sins, but are we thankful for the forgiveness of our sins that's available in Christ? In verse 9, he goes on to say, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure, His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both that which is in heaven and that which is on earth in Him. Notice here again, verse 9, he says, He has made known to us the mystery of His will. Are you thankful for this book? As you thank God for the many things that you might be thankful for, are you thankful for this book? For the revelation of His will? That He has indeed breathed His word to us in the pages of this book? Verse 11, he says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things through the counsel of His will. Are you thankful that you have obtained an inheritance in heaven through Christ? If you're a Christian, look at all of the things that we have to be thankful for. Verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Why are we here? Why did God create everything and then created man? That we should be to the praise of His glory. We've all sinned and come short of His glory. But God created us to be to the praise of His glory. And He teaches us what to do, having sinned and falling short of glorifying Him, how that we can be back in His favor and restored to our purpose. Verse 13, he says, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of His promise. As we've explained so many times, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where they were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans tells us that that gift of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit testifying with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit testifying to God that here's an individual that is now one of your children. That is the sealing of the Holy Spirit of promise. The identity that we have in Christ. The confirmation of the Holy Spirit saying, this is what you told me to this is what you breathed in your word to be, for them to hear. Notice again, you heard this word and you believed it, and having believed it, trusting and obeying it, you became a child of God, and the Holy Spirit testified and verified that very thing. You are identified in the holy, glorious halls of heaven itself as someone who belongs to God. Do you thank God and praise God for that? Or do you just take it for granted? Do you think you were just owed that? And that was all made possible because Jesus died for us. As we sang this morning, God is love. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Are we thankful for that? In 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 through 15, we read, This is the confidence that we have in Him, in Christ. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for of Him. We know that God hears and answers our prayers. That's something to be thankful for. We often thank Him in prayer, but are we thankful for the fact that He hears and answers our prayers? 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Are we thankful for His abundant mercy that has begotten us again into this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? You might say, well, it seems like we're saying a lot of the same things in different ways, and in some ways we are. But sometimes God has to say things in different ways so that it will click with everyone. Not every phrase will click with every person. And so God teaches us in different ways. Just like, and if you're learning math or history or any other subject, sometimes a teacher has to rephrase things in order for particular students to get it. That's just the way we are. God is the ultimate teacher. And so all of these things work together to help us appreciate who God is and what God would have us to be. In Matthew 5 and verse 45, He says, "He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust." In Acts 17 and verse 28, "In Him we live and move and have our being." We are to be thankful for life and its material blessings. That's what He's talking about there, just the material blessings of life. Those come from God. Yes, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, but all material blessings come from our Heavenly Father. Indeed, every good and perfect thing comes from His hand. Here's a good way, I think, to summarize that. For what should I be thankful? I should be thankful for realizing that I am not the center of the universe, but I am loved by the One who is the center of the universe. And because He loved me, I have all of these spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus that we have listed here. So many times we take life and its material blessings for granted. They've been here for thousands of years. But no, they hang on a thread, don't they? How long has it been since we've had rain? I'm not talking about just this past, what was it, Thursday night or something? We had some rain Thursday night, I think, a little bit. It's been a long time since we've had rain here. And this summer was pretty wet, wasn't it? We started taking rain for granted, didn't we? All of a sudden, it stopped raining. I said, well, it'll start raining again someday. Yeah, it will. But we just need to realize that life hangs on a thread. What if it stopped raining altogether? What would happen to this part of the country? You know, it used to be that the northern coast of Africa was a lush jungle, just like the southern portions of Africa in many places are. People mistreated the land, and now it's a desert. We just need to realize that we have so much to be thankful for and for all general physical blessings, and especially for all spiritual blessings. When we focus upon ourselves, we stop being thankful to the One who has provided us with all of these things. We belong to the One who provides these things for us. What are some barriers for thankfulness? Well, one is thoughtlessness. It's expressed in Psalm 103 in the first five verses. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Have you ever tasted something that's really good? Do you have a favorite food? Is there a certain classification of food that just, you know, I just really like that? Do you thank God that you have taste buds and that you can taste that food? That's what He's saying there. He crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. We know that God loves us. Do you love someone? Or is there someone who loves you? Are you thankful that you love someone, and that someone loves you, and maybe it's many people. Maybe you love many people. I hope you do. And many people love you in return. But, you know, what makes it possible is God has made all of that possible. Everything that's listed here. We've talked about redemption, and here He talks about the general blessings of healing our diseases, but forgiving us of our iniquities. All of that is in Christ. Have we taken God for granted, or are we genuinely thankful for every good and perfect gift that comes from above? When we forget God, when we are thoughtless about those things, then we will stop being thankful. Faithlessness is another thing that leads to thanklessness. He says, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning." Psalm 143 and verse 8. "For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you." Faithfulness. He recognizes who God is. I find it interesting. He says, "Cause me to hear. Cause me to know." Why would you use such terminology? God, you make me hear. You make me know. Because there is within each of us a realizing that we're starving to some extent for knowing more and hearing more, and our ears totally open to Him, and us being dependent upon Him because we're so full of ourselves and what we think and what we feel. But when we truly hear Him and when we truly know Him, then we can trust Him and lift up our soul completely to Him, be faithful to Him. But without being faithful, without trusting and obeying Him, we're not going to be thankful to Him. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10 it says, "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God." Yes, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. "While we rejoice in our salvation and our hope and all of the spiritual blessings and material blessings that come from God, we realize that we're going to suffer reproach because of it." But we need to remain faithful in such times. Discontentment leads to being unthankful. In 1 Timothy 6 and verses 6 through 8, we read, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It's certain that we can carry nothing out." So you didn't bring anything into the world. You're not going to take anything out of the world. Do you have anything right now? Do you have anything right now? Yeah, I've got my clothes on. I've got food to eat. I've got a home to live in. I have my health. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Are we thankful for that? Or are we not content? Not content with the clothes that I have on my back. Not content with the house that I live in. Not content with the TV that I'm watching. Not content with whatever. Are you thankful for the TV that you do have? Are you thankful for the house that you do have? Are you thankful for the automobile or vehicle that you are driving? Are you thankful for the spouse that you have? For the children that you have? See, without thankfulness, you'll not be happy. Another barrier to thankfulness is selfishness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3, it says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of what is good." That doesn't even make sense to me. Why would you despise what is good? But people do. People despise what is good and righteous and pure and holy. It's illogical, but people act in an illogical way. Why? Because they've turned their backs upon God. They've focused themselves upon themselves. And we can see that something is truly good, but here's somebody who doesn't love things that are truly good. So they're selfish and self-centered. It's not happy people that are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. You won't be happy until you become thankful. Thankful for what you have, instead of lamenting about the things that you don't have. If you wake up every day thankful that you're awake, first of all, and that you can get out of bed and go about your daily chores, whatever they might be, thankful that you can do those things. The day may come when you'll not have the health to be able to do the things that you're doing today. And you'll say, "Boy, I wish I could be doing those things that at one time they were just chores to me, but I didn't realize how much I was thankful that I had the ability to do those chores." What are the benefits of being thankful? Well, it confirms our obedience to God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It's the will of God that we be thankful to Him in everything. What if there's some things I'm not thankful for? Well, then I'm not obedient. The benefits of being thankful is that it confirms our obedience. It leads to an appreciation and to joy. The appreciation of things, the thankfulness for things leads to joy. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9 says, "What thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy which we rejoice for your sake before our God?" What's he saying? We're thankful for you. We rejoice for your faithfulness. I'm rejoicing that you're rejoicing, is another way to say it. And our appreciation of these things leads greatly to joy, to happiness. Psalm 100 reads, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not ourselves. For we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." When you have that perspective of who God is, and that you are indeed of His pasture, that He has identified you as one of His, you have the proper perspective of things and every reason to rejoice and to be thankful and to praise God. The benefits of being thankful is that we realize a closeness to God. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." How do we know that? It's God said so. And so when I know these things, do you realize how close you are to God when you know this basic principle? Every good thing, every perfect thing comes from God. People who don't know God don't know this. They don't know to be thankful. But you do. Now here's the question though. Are you thankful? Are you rejoicing in the benefit of being thankful? Knowing that you're close to God. Because you're close to His Word and you know Him and He knows you. Knowing that God is the source of every good gift and every perfect gift, and that we are in His favor because of our service to Him, secures our relationship with Him. What's the danger of ingratitude? Well, again, we could look at many passages. We're just going to look at one. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 25 reads, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful." Speaking of the ancient world who turned to their own gods of their imagination, turned to idolatrous gods, turned to Greek mythology, turned to all of these imagined things. Although they had a perception that there is a God, they didn't seek God as God had revealed Himself. They did not glorify God, and because they did not glorify God, they weren't thankful to God. They became futile in their imaginations and in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened to the light of God. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The danger of ingratitude. Ingratitude is a dangerous step away from God. You choose not to know God. You choose not to know the things that God has revealed in this wonderful, glorious gift we call the Bible. You choose not to know His will as He has expressed it in His Word. You're not going to be thankful to God. You're not going to obey God. You're not going to know all the blessings that are in God. You're not going to have a hope of heaven The forgiveness of your sins here. Freedom from guilt of your sin in Christ. Ingratitude is a dangerous step away from God. May God give us the presence of mind to be thankful to the Lord always for all things, especially for the things that we have in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you know that you're not in Christ, you haven't put Him on in baptism, you haven't been forgiven of your sins, you haven't had your sins washed away in His blood, in your obedience to Him, why not change that today? You know that there is a God. You know that and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know that you have sinned and you need to turn from your sin and turn to Him because that's what Jesus said to do. You know that Jesus said you need to confess Him as the Son of God. You know that the only way you can be in Christ and have your sins washed away is to obey Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Why not express your gratitude and faithfulness this morning in actually obeying Him today and committing your life to His service? He's revealed our purpose to us. Will you be now begin fulfilling that purpose and expressing your gratitude to God for all that He has provided? If you're here today and a child of God and you've forgotten these things, maybe you've become unthankful for these things, you've started to take them for granted, can we pray with you and for you? If you're subject to the invitation, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
If my life and let it be